Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello. Welcome to Life Lab. It's a beautiful day.
Very nice out.
Yeah.
Cold.
It's crisp, right? But just something about the way things look and feel this morning. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. It is pretty and enjoyable.
Yeah, I wonder if that's something that we could replicate, if that could be replicated somehow. Either natural, I mean, obviously, we're talking about natural things, right? And there's artificial man-made things, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would that be called if we were to do so? I think it might be labeled art.
It could be labeled art, and not as in your dad, Art Ponder. Art as in the product and process of creation.
All right. Well, let's talk about that.
It sucks
today,
for you, because while we're sitting in this room, again, we do this in my little four-season room on the back of my house. And we always take, you know, it's like a classroom. You always take the same seat. Dave sits facing west. I sit facing south, so I can see east or west. So I always get to see the sunrise, and he doesn't get to see that. So I feel I'm stealing a little more beauty from the natural art outside.
You are. But it's interesting. The other side of the sky still has some color to it.
You're right. It does.
And I get to see the way things are illuminated by the sun.
Sweet.
Which matters. Sometimes when I'm sitting at the office in the morning, and I go in when it's still dark, right? And when the sun first starts to rise, one of the cool things that I like to see, and some days it's really striking, is the tone of the buildings and how it changes, right?
Well, the building we work in is literally a chameleon building, so it changes with the sun, with the light. It changes colors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And it's weird how that makes me feel something. Obviously, I like it.
Well, we could go right into that. I mean, the marrying art and architecture. Clearly, a design approach to building spaces to achieve or try to achieve certain emotions. There definitely is a certain art to that. Now, there's of course quite a bit of science as well. For you, what is art? You like to start with a definition? Do you have one or no?
I actually don't have one.
I don't have a definition, but I can give you Zach Schaefer's rule of thumb for what is or isn't art.
Okay.
And I have had this since I've been about a teenager, and it works for me. If I can do it, it ain't art. But to me, that works. Like if I'm going to a museum or I'm at someone's house and they have something up, or I'm going to engage in some kind of artistic process on my own, if I can do it, it ain't art. It is true. Okay. For the visual representation of art that most people assume, drawing, painting, sculpting, all of that, I ain't got those skills. So anybody that, if I can do it, it is not art, meaning it is not something that would evoke positive emotions from someone else or that someone would want to pay for it.
Okay. You know what? There's a lot to talk about. So, especially on that got a bunch of things going on.
I'm very artful in other ways, and we'll get to that later.
Well, let's talk about art. So, this says art is basically just there's two definitions: the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, or the various branches of creative activity such as painting, music, literature, dance, whatever. I don't like the second one.
Well, but that's the one that most people associate with the act of creation, which is really what art is, an act of creation.
It is. And what I'll say is I think that creation can be natural or, like I said, natural art or artificial. I believe there's art in nature. I do believe the experience of standing and looking at a mountain range is art. It is to me, at least. And it just because it wasn't made by humans doesn't mean to me that it's not art. I really think it is. And then I think we try to replicate that, right? Like look at a Bob Ross painting. And that is, no one would argue that's not art, right? And it's all we're doing is replicating that. So, and so what I wanted to say to you about you saying you can't do art. If you do it, it ain't art.
Again, in terms of the visual, the traditional aspects of we're going to art class to make things. I'm not good at that stuff, and that's okay.
Well, and I'm just saying, it doesn't matter if it's good art. It could still be art, right? Like, they found paintings on cave walls, and they're like, oh, that's like a terrible drawing of a buffalo.
Fair enough. I'll give you that, okay? I'll concede on that. Let's extend the definition. It is art I would not want to give someone as a Christmas gift.
Okay. That's
and people, fair. If they got it, would go, thanks.
That's fair. Okay, so yeah, but I thought it was interesting when you were talking about that, about the creation piece of it.
Well, it's a process. Art, I think, again, these are two non-artists, if you will, talking
about. Oh, yeah. We are the least qualified people to be talking about.
In terms of the traditional approach. Now, I do believe we have some soul in our craft, and we are very artistic and creative and innovative in other ways that I would label art and artistic, but not in a traditional sense. So you wouldn't find it in an art history book.
Well, and that's why I like the first definition, which was the expression or application of human creative skill and
that's
imagination.
That's a more broad definition, and I like that. But then you can blur the lines, you know?
You can.
We will. We're the Nazis artists.
And we will.
Right? Are serial killers artists? Ooh. Right? So you can get real dirty and down if you want to create a real broad principle. Ooh. Right. So it's tough to go. I don't want to go there.
Well, actually, I'll touch on that. I'll touch on that later.
Here's another one. I like this definition, or this is another way weirdo Zach thinks about it. Art for me, you said something earlier. You're like, well, for me, nature is art, and for me, captures it. There is no universal formula for what is or isn't art. It's a totally subjective experience. Totally. Art history books and people in art try to act like they have objectified it. That's horseshit. Art is like food. You have an experience, a tangible experience to it, and it evokes certain emotions in you or not. Somebody can't just say, this is art and this isn't. And our government tries to act like it can now by funding certain projects. But art is a very contextualized, subjective experience, and we can talk about it broadly. But for me, if it isn't changing the way I think about the world or see something – more importantly for me, inspiring me to take some kind of action and do something, it ain't art. So like this thing on my wall, I got this bald man like yelling into the darkness. It's one of my favorite paintings. It's called the Caller, painted by a guy named Joseph Heller. It's on a Nietzsche book called Beyond Good and Evil. I think this to me, every time I see it when I'm in my office, is this is what we're doing as humans. We're calling into the dark, hoping somebody answers, keeping our fingers crossed, and saying, oh, there's at least an echo out there. There's something out there.
That's good.
And for me, art needs to do that.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's you. You
know? Right, it's weird. My wife hates it. That's why it's in my office.
That's funny. yeah, so I wanted to talk about what you said about inspire, because you said the word inspire.
Mm-hmm.
and art is inspiration, is a catalyst.
Mm,
and,
good word.
And it is born through experience, because you said experience and you said inspire. And so I thought, okay, like art necessarily deals with the senses. Does it not? I think it does. It has to be communicated in some way, shape, or form, and therefore it has to deal with the senses.
Yeah, it's very empirical, sight, sound, taste, smell,
well, because I think there's an element of art. And when I get really broad with art, we could say it can be like, it's paintings, it's dance, but it's also writing, for sure, is art.
Oh, 100%.
Fiction.
Coding.
Yeah.
There's an art to
right.
Computer.
You're
I mean,
sports.
Absolutely. One of the greatest compliments you can pay an athlete is when you say, they're an artist.
Yeah.
Like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I think it was our good friend Mark
Kobe.
Miller who said it, and it's probably not, maybe it's not from him, or maybe it is, but he was talking about how he felt like he couldn't dance or something, but he plays basketball and he was very good. And somebody said to him, you can dance, man. It's just that's your dance.
You dance on the
that's
basketball
it.
Court. You're graceful. Yeah. A lot of very good athletes are graceful, yeah. Which is
– It's not choreographed. It's
– There's art to that.
Yeah.
It's natural.
Yeah. And so I thought, oh, that's a good one. I like that.
I like the word catalyst because for me, again, I truly believe there is no objective definition for what is or isn't considered art. And we can get into all the postmodern things going on today that people consider art that I personally wouldn't. But I don't care if they do, outside if my tax dollars have to pay for it. But you said catalyst. That's such a great word because I had written down emotional fuel. Art needs to be an emotional fuel for me. If I'm not getting any fuel from it, it's just – it might as well be an empty used shoe sitting there I'm looking at. Like it doesn't bring me anything that I don't want to sit and stare at it or think about it. But you summarized it in one word, in catalyst. I like that word. I'm going to use that word today in a sentence with a stranger.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I was getting to – so yes, it is a catalyst. And so what I was getting to was it's – you know, if fiction, if writing and fiction, so storytelling is an art, then imagination is where that comes from. And imagination might be where all art or all art is born.
Oh, 100%. I don't think you can argue
human,
with that.
At least human created art, right? And so then the element, then that's where I was getting at with, does it have to be a sensory? Do senses have to be involved? And I would say, if the art is to be communicated from one to another, then the answer is yes.
Well, yeah, but now we're getting a little philosophical. I guess you can't talk about art without a bit of that. It gets back to the chicken or egg. Can you have a thought without language? Meaning, where does – so the inspiration, what did you, imagination machine gets going. Well, how does that get going? By your empirical interaction with the world through your senses. It doesn't just come out of nowhere. It comes from what you've seen, heard, smelled, touched, tasted. So the inputs to the imagination machine allows your machine to begin to do the throughput, the process building. And then if you want to communicate it, you use some kind of medium. Does that make sense?
It totally does. So I was trying to think of, well, what about a person who, you know, is isolated and they survive and they, so they never learn language, right? Then, but they do, they learn a language that is, maybe it's not words, right?
Well, but they learn the language of survival.
Well, they learn the language of survival, but if they came across another human, they would be able to try to communicate with pictures, motions, things that they know, that is their language that they understand, right? And so I think that's a good way to talk about art because art is trying to communicate ideas. I'm not going to try to restrict it, but art can be trying to communicate ideas with different mediums other than words. It can be a painting, it can be a song, it can be all these things that you have a feeling, an idea, something that you've experienced, and you're like, I need to put that into a form that others can also experience. And I don't know what the goal of the artist is. Is it to recreate the experience that they've had?
Or is it to provoke a different one?
Is it to provoke right. one?
That and they, to me, they it's not even about the idea. They're trying to create that. They're trying to be a catalyst for emotional fuel for someone else.
Yes. Yes.
Like exactly. I think about Picasso's Guernica, which is a huge wall of a famous battle. It's one of the most famous paintings in the world, and it's enormous. I think it's like 10 feet tall by 13 feet wide. It's very big. So I'm sure he had an idea he was trying to convey that's lost on me, but I definitely, you have an emotional experience of some kind looking at that painting, even if it's like, oh, this sucks, which it doesn't. So to me, again, it's that catalyst word. I think you nailed it with that.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first started looking at this stuff, when I first started doing research for today's episode, I came across something that talked about aesthetic experience, and that's where I was like, okay, yeah, aesthetic experience. That makes sense to me. I think art, you know, can be the basis of that. And if art, if that's art, that does include both nature and human created stuff. You know, that's where my mind was going with that, because aesthetic experience changes your mood. It impacts the way you feel, like just – it even impacts your behavior. You know, there's that old saying, a cluttered desk equals a cluttered mind, right?
Well, just this office that we sit in, that's why I had it repainted.
Exactly. And we
reorganized.
So we know that aesthetic experience changes the way that we feel and can impact the way that we behave. And there's, you know, a bunch of studies to back that up. So things like a minimalist desk or whatever, like interior design to maximize whatever. It's an art. It is changing the way you feel in the same way that a piece of art, right, is a specific aesthetic that you are experiencing and that is influencing the way that you feel in that moment. So it's almost like art to me can be expanded to describe our environment, right? It can be, especially if it's intentionally created or even if it's just accidentally created. If you're experiencing something that's impacting your emotions, yeah.
Yeah, and you can play with boundaries of what is or isn't art. And again, it's a subjective experience. I think I'd like to hear someone try to argue how it's objective. Again, there's certain things you can look at. You go in a museum, all the old school paintings, yeah. It's going to be tough for a fairly reasonable person to say that's not art. Some of the newer things that are out there, I don't know. But your brother-in-law, John Varaki, you know, he had a really playful and thoughtful and philosophical senior project from college. And he was probably like a double major of some kind, but art, I believe, was one of the things he majored in. And he had a series of paintings, and each painting said, "This is me fucking art." The text, "This is me fucking art." And of course, I'm going to misrepresent. He, of course, had a whole tapestry full of ideas behind that. But I remember because we got to see it in person. We were in high school, and that was a big deal, you know, seeing the F word in this really nice art museum on campus that they had. And I was like, this is badass. Like, this is art. He's challenging what society says should or shouldn't be considered art in a very simple yet fundamental way. And I never forgot that. And I hope John listens to this because that was burned into my head. It really gave me a sense of autonomy and independence and kind of a little fuck you to authorities. And yeah, that's cool. And I already had that, and it fueled it more. Like, I think of his painting probably once a week throughout my life.
Yeah,
that is art.
Yeah. Well, and I think, yeah, I don't want to describe it for him. We'll have to have him on a show. Sorry in advance, John. But I think what he was saying there is, like, you can't force it, right? Like, if this is a school project, that's why I'm creating this art, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just like having sex without emotion. Mm-hmm. That's what, just like fucking, right?
Yeah.
And so that was a statement piece. So, all right, fine. Here you go.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
So then it gets to, you talked about replicability. Well, then we can enter good old capitalism and say, okay, let's take Starry Night and let's industrialize it and sell it. So then is the Starry Night poster I have, again, I don't even care about that argument because that to me is just an academic argument. Is that art or is it not? Clearly it's based on art, but to me the function of that is make money. Not inspire.
It totally is.
But it doesn't mean that somebody can't get that catalyst from that image. But to me, the actual function of it is industrialization.
It is. I mean, it's basically, yeah, it's trying to make money off of art.
And maybe they'd say selling out.
Yeah. Like, philosophically, no, it's not the same picture. You know what I mean? It's a printing of ink on a paper that looks... It looks like a replication, but when you talk about the actual Starry Night, I don't know what it is. It's probably oil on canvas, and it's got dimension to it, and it's got, you know, you can see the strokes if you get up close. None of that is available on a, you know, so it's not the same.
Right.
It's interesting because we get philosophical again. I remember I just watched a TED Talk recently that talked about who we are. And the fact that we change over time, but somehow we still think we're the same person. Like, if you took an adult you, just about every cell in your body's different than when you were a child, and you look drastically different. Yet you say that you're the same you. In the same way, they said there's some ship in Europe that is docked, and it's like, you know, known to be a thousands of years old ship. However, every time a piece of that ship gets too old and weathered, they replace it. And over time, it's like the ship Odysseus stood on or something, right? But over time, every piece of that ship has been replaced. is it the same ship, you know? And then there's a, it's an argument, right? Like, yes, this is it, or no, no, because yeah, he never really stood on this ship.
Humans and ourselves.
Yeah. And so is that piece of art the same piece of art? No, but is it still some kind of art? Yeah, just probably not with a pure enough purpose. And that's the way that's the way I feel about what you just talked about. What I would say though is, I mean, it's still going for emotion, right? It's going to communicate that positive emotion. And so if you think about it from a, you know, a pure perspective, someone could say, I want to, like monks. It was monks' job just to replicate books, right? And say that they put thousands of hours into just writing, right? And that's replicating artwork. But it was because they wanted to transfer knowledge and emotion. It was just a different medium. They weren't just replicating a painting.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have – I guess what I'm saying is you can have a pure motivation for it. It doesn't have to be monetary.
Yeah, yeah. To me, you need to talk about the artist too, or the artisan. Whether it's the traditional things or it's being a garbage man, building a rocket ship, being a court reporter, working in a boiler. If you put soul into your craft, if you marry your soul into your craft and look at it in a different way and bring new tools and innovations to it, and you're truly inspired by it, and other people can see that, you absolutely are an artist or an artisan. It doesn't matter what you do. And we see now that's all fucking marketing buzzword jargon shit in the food industry. Everyone's an artisan. That's horse shit. They're just selling you a story is what's going on. There are people that are true artisans in that industry. But the average corner pub that has artisan something on their menu, that ain't it.
You know what? I have an idea that I'll throw out there. And that is, it doesn't matter what the medium, it could be food, it could be sports, whatever. Everyone,
engineering.
Yeah. Everyone is trying to create art, right? And maybe that, like, you're right. Maybe there is a threshold between what becomes everything, the clutter, so to speak, and what elevates itself to being art, right? It's like, you know, in sport, watching Michael Jordan hit the jumper as he's fading to the side to win, what was it, game 6, not even game 7, and then pumping his fist, right? Like, that is something that is played over and over again, and it brings you back to that moment if you experienced it. If you know the context in it, you're there.
Right.
And everyone in that building felt that at that time. And that rose to a level of something that would be considered art for sure. Now, how many jump shots had Michael Jordan taken in his life and made? Thousands, hundreds of thousands potentially, right?
Right.
That one is art.
Yeah.
And you could probably say the same thing with food, with music, with, you know, like everybody's – if you're a quote-unquote artist, right, you're generally trying to work with mediums that are considered art. That and you're trying to make them rise to that level. How many songs have been written, right? And how many of them actually qualify to be called art?
But that's where I have a big disagreement with you.
Oh, okay, good.
Big time.
Good.
The only reason they got to that high level of quality with the one that society likes and they can make money off of or be remembered for is because of all the crumpled up pieces on the floor. That's what differentiates the true artist from the average Joe Schmo, is the diligence and the process and sticking through it and doing, looking through all the different ways to innovate. That's Thomas Edison. He was an artist. It took him 2,000 tries. Like, he's remembered for the one, and he hates that. He's like, I should be remembered for the 1,999 failures because there ain't nobody else doing that.
And you're talking about the light bulb, by the way. But yes.
Yeah, and that is the big difference where I absolutely disagree. We remember Jordan for that shot, and he even says it, because I missed more than any others because I took them, because I took the risk. And the risk of a songwriter or somebody doing traditional art or a programmer or whatever – it's risk-taking. You take the risk to be judged and have the room full of crumpled-up poems that suck. Those are absolutely art, and that's what helps you become the well-known artist.
I like that. How powerful is that? I mean, what you just said there is powerful, and it's right? Because whenever we see something that's art, I think there's something that speaks to us when we understand effort behind it. if something's easy to do, it's not very
Everyone
valuable.
Would do it. It's not, stupid. Everyone would have a PhD and be a millionaire if it was easy.
Yeah. It's not valuable to us. It doesn't drive that emotion. It becomes commonplace.
Here, okay, can we go big picture?
Yeah.
We got to talk about art and science.
Okay.
Art and science, you know, the mother and the father. Everybody's obsessed with science, but most people who get into philosophy and know science actually elevate art above science. And they say that science is much more mechanistic and really kind of follows a formula, whereas art brings in the imagination machine and it's bending and changing things. But if you want to think about human life, our whole life could be considered, you can look at it through the lens of art and science. Science is, give me the formula for success. What are the steps I need to do? What are the phases of life I need to hit to make sure I'm loved, I'm worthy of love, I'm competent, I check the boxes, I do the right things. That's the science of life. Where should you be at what point and at what time in your life? Art is what we're all trying to do, and that is find a way to figure out what the hell our craft or our calling is, and find a way to put our soul into it. That is the art of life. And that is why most people don't have it. Most people, myself included, don't have that one calling that they felt they had to do from the time they were little. But it sucks because there's the few people, the exception to the rule we point at, the Elon Musks of the world or et cetera, where they did it and they found it and they're crushing it in a good way. To me, that's the art and science of life. Science is easy. Where are the rules? Let me do the rules. Let me get a little extra credentialization here, make a little extra money here, be the good dad here. The art is the hard part.
I like that. And I would like to expand it, or like not even expand it. I would like to focus it. It's just like with, okay, so music is art. No doubt.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that in a little bit. But the science of music is, oh, there are vibrations that make a sound that your, you know, these cilia in your mm-hmm. ear pick mm-hmm. up and translate it to the, you know, neurons that fire
in
your brain.
The math side of it.
Right? Like, that's science. With a painting, it's like there is a, you know, there are molecules mm-hmm. that reflect light in
interact
a certain
differently,
way.
Right, with the natural laws
and,
of the world.
And that's what makes a color, and your retina looks at the color because of the way that the light is bouncing off of it and yada, yada. That's the science, right? And in that same way, I think you're talking about there is a life. And we understand that there is a science to life that is like, you know, work, hard work is important and, you know, willpower and yada, yada, yada. There's just these mechanisms that we know, like certain things are generally positive and certain things are generally negative. But it's up to you to take all of that you've learned, all your skill, right? Everything you've learned to do, everything that you've learned to avoid and create.
And paint the life that's true to you. Take your experience, your knowledge, your passion, your talent, and do something with it on the canvas of life. That's art. And there ain't no, and that's what, I mean, man, that's complicated. And that's what everyone is trying to do. What's my purpose? What's my calling? How do I leave my mark? That is an art. And some people get it, and the most of us don't.
Man.
Most of us don't. But some people get it, and they're the ones we remember. Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mother Teresa.
We're getting to the most – I think we're getting to the most powerful thing that we could
talk they were
about
artists.
On this show, yes.
Those three folks.
They were absolutely artists. But also, let's then extend that, right? Many artists, many actual artists, like painters, they die without ever – being known, and then many become famous after their death.
Right, posthumously.
But they would have never known, you know, like when they were on their deathbed, if you would have asked them about did you make it? You know what I mean? All that's – well, they could say, yeah, I made it to myself, right?
Yeah, to my immediate world.
Right. I sort of feel like we're trying to make an impact, right? If art is a catalyst, we're trying to be that catalyst or make our work that catalyst. Are we not?
Yeah, but it just depends on what level of impact you want. I don't think every artist or musician or whatever wants to be world famous.
I agree 100%. And that's my next step is, so let's say we aren't. Is that not important? Right?
No, of course it's important, but the difficulty is the art of getting over the fact that I'm okay with just doing this as a side hobby and having fun and hanging it on my walls or my friends' walls. But that's hard. That's the self-limiting belief of overcoming the fact that, oh, I didn't make it. I didn't commit fully because I didn't want to do this as my full-time job or whatever.
Well, and I think that's the part of life art, like the bigger thing that we were talking about. Not just am I trying to do paintings or whatever, but what am I trying to do with my life? How am I trying to apply my education, my experiences, just what you said earlier, and making your life turn out to be an artwork doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a celebrity because of it or you have to be world famous because of it. It doesn't even mean to me that you have to have a legacy outside of the mind of one person, one other person maybe, you know?
It all goes back to own your story. And that's something we haven't talked about. One thing that differentiates many artists, you could have two artists. Let's talk painting because that's easy. Who paint nearly identical works. Who's going to win out, quote unquote, win, meaning other people might be interested in the product? Whoever has the more interesting story behind it. If you're an artist and you don't have the courage to craft that story and be mysterious or whatever it is, but you ain't selling. Why do rich people put art all on their walls other than, quote unquote, to store value? As soon as you go in their house, they're telling you stories about every single piece of furniture, every single thing on their walls. It's the story that matters because story conveys status and meaning and impact. So if you are trying to create art, you got to think about, where am I in that? What's my story in this? If you're wanting to get it out there publicly, the story is damn near. I mean, there's so much art in these museums that, again, Zach's rule wouldn't qualify as art because Zach can do this shit. I can set a toilet over there and spray paint it black and come up with a cool little story behind it. To me, that ain't art, but it is because the story makes it art. What do you think about that?
I mean, everything might boil down to that. Everything might boil down to that. As far as humans go, it's the one thing that we care about the most.
Here's another thing, and we'll have to do a different life lab on this. I haven't noodled it all the way through. I'm of the current belief system that our soul as humans is simply our ability to tell and connect to stories. It's a storytelling mechanism. And when people lose that later in life through Alzheimer's and dementia, I believe it's such a debilitating disease for them personally, potentially, we don't quite know really, but for everyone around them, because the connection's now gone. The ability for the souls to connect are gone because there's no stories that are shared anymore. And it's devastating to people. The soul has lost its ability to connect through the stories that we created together. I don't know. I think there's a connection somewhere in there to art somehow. Maybe not.
No, I think there is, because I think everything goes through that. And I'll say, let me extend it and get just as far out there with you, which is I've lately been thinking about the fact that we don't know what consciousness is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a theory that I subscribe to that consciousness does not – that the brain is more of an antenna, more of a receiver of consciousness than a generator of consciousness. And that – and I think it fits perfectly with everything that you just said there, right? To me, I think that there's probably somewhere that we are connected, right? And in this life, our brain allows us to be individuals, receivers of that whatever connected thing is from a different dimension. And that all thoughts, ideas, whatever, we can come to us. Like, cause what is an idea? What is a thought? How does that happen? Can come to us through our antenna. And just like you said, we crave that connection again. We are individuals here, but we know that we're connected. We've always been connected, and we crave to maintain that level of connection. And stories are probably the way that we can do it most effectively here. And when that antenna becomes damaged and no longer works correctly, that is super stressful, right? Through, like you talked about, dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever. You know, and so I'm talking about an organ, the brain, but I think it matters. I'm not trying to be scientific or I'm not trying to be atheist in any way, shape, or form. I do believe that that element of connectedness
is the soul. Well, if you believe the – I mean, you couldn't be atheist if you actually believe that the brain is an antenna receiving consciousness from somewhere else.
Right.
Because clearly that something else is much greater than humans. So whether it's the monotheistic religions from Earth, there's something way bigger. So you couldn't be an atheist if that's what you believe.
Yeah, I don't have a developed dogma.
Right. What about this? Can we switch gears or do you have any other deep thoughts there?
Well, I want to tie it back to art.
And go ahead.
It's that, man. And you hit the nail on the head with it's stories.
I got lucky.
It's stories, right?
Yep.
Like when we talk about it, a person can look at a piece of art and they had their own story, right? So one of the cool things that when I was looking this up, it said that art allows the recollection of positive memories, and evidence suggests that these reminiscence activities can affect mood, self-worth, yada, yada. That's us telling that story. That's the story that's within us. That's that connection.
Ideas change the world, but not until they're put in the form of a story. Because that is what is the catalyst for action. So good art, quote unquote good, right? That's a moral judgment. Of course, there will be subjectivity there. But art that speaks to you, it speaks to you because it's telling you a story. Now, it might be the story that the artist wanted to convey. Some artists don't want to convey any story. They just want their art to have a story for each person. But art, it is art. If you're getting a story, if you're listening to it, if you're communicating with it and you're hearing something and you're getting a story, even if it's a negative one you don't like, that's art.
That's art.
But if you see something and there ain't no story, Zach did it. It ain't art.
Well, I mean, there can be some story to it, right?
Anyway, yeah, but anyway. You see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What about hobbies? Hobbies is a way that I think humans are trying to be artists. And not in the way that I want to sell art and be famous, but maybe hobbies for folks, whatever. The baby boomer guy tinkering in his garage on his cars all the time. The women who live next to you throwing the crafting parties. What are those parties? Your neighbor.
What's it called? Scrapbooking.
Scrapbooking party. That, to me, you could interpret that as a way to, amateur artistry, like trying to put their soul in the game and have that calling and that craft.
And there are so many obscure ones.
Right, yeah, so well, the internet has really helped out with that so that maybe the internet has helped both crush and kill the soul with all the negativity amplified and at the same time invigorate and catalyze it to help you find interests that you thought you were the only person on the planet that you had them.
You're right. And it's that story that matters to you, right? Like, so obviously, I think the scrapbooks is a great example. Like, they are most likely putting memories and things like that into books, trying to capture experience and communicate experience to others in a certain way. It's definitely an art, right? So is music. So is anything that you can pick up. It tells that story. It really ties back to what you were talking about with telling the story.
I don't have a particular hobby per se. I like to do fitness and stuff, but I would never be like, oh yeah, fitness is my hobby. It's like a thing I do because I know it's important to be healthy. I like it when I'm there, but I don't wake up like, can't wait to do my fitness today. Now I do love reading. I guess you could consider it that. But what I do believe I am is a collector of experiences. I recently got called, as a compliment, a manic learner. You're a manic learner. Like when you latch on to something, Zach, you're obsessive and you dive in and you learn a ton about it in a very short amount of time. And then once you feel like, yeah, I'm good, you move on to something else. And to me, that's something I've struggled with. Like I've always wanted consistency and give me some rituals, what Zach's known for. Well, maybe my artistry is the ability to hop around and just be eclectic with experiences and new ideas. And I do think I'm artistic with that in a way. Like
your process is your art.
Interesting. Okay, there you go. You said it better than I was trying to describe it.
Yeah.
But it's still – there's still that what's my calling. I had no calling. Well, maybe my calling is just that process.
Well, it is. And, I mean, you are turning it into – things that you're trying to share with others, right? I think about new story, new score. Think about what we're doing with Life Lab.
Well, Life Lab's a great example.
Yeah. So it's exactly that.
Cool.
Is it not art?
Well, this for sure.
Yeah.
I could label art, absolutely. We're trying to, if nothing else, damn, the taglines experiment with life. Like, we're trying to catalyze positive emotions in people, or even negative, be reflective on those.
Yeah.
Well, what about you? Where are you artistic in life? Like, where do you bring and put your soul into your craft?
I mean, much the same way that you do, right? When I think about it, oftentimes I think about legacy. I don't know why, but I think about legacy. And I feel like a lot of people crave legacy, and the metrics they use to measure it are wrong. And I want mine to be right. And so I want that to be basically how I made people feel. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be a wide net. It doesn't have to be, an audience. Who is my audience? It can just be my family and the people who knew me best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is an art, right? I just saw it was a title of one of the TED Talks last night that I thought hit the nail on the head for me. And it was like, do you live for your biography or do you live for your obituary?
Hmm. Yeah, nice.
Something like that. And I was like, yeah, that basically hits the nail.
Well, I'd have to say number two, since I've already written like 10 obituaries.
Well, and here's what I think, man. Okay, so if you want to get down
with the help of your wife, too.
here's what I really think when we talk about legacy. There are many famous people. Edison, right? He tried the light bulb 3,000 times, got one of them. Yeah, and then a bunch of other stuff. I've read his biography when I was a kid, actually. But I don't know him. I don't know him at all. I know things about him, surface level things, minor things. And we can probably take any historic figure. And who were the people who really knew them, right? The people who shared experiences with them. That's how you get to know a person, right? Like, you and I have done things together, experienced things together.
Got in and out of trouble. We have scars. Scars was something I was going to talk about.
And we know each other in a way that can never be communicated. It can never be replicated.
Or never be taken away.
Yeah, it can never be taken away. It can never be communicated.
Outside of brain loss.
Right. But I mean truly communicated.
Right.
Right? It can be partially communicated.
But that to me is so explanatory. That's not the word I'm looking for. So indicative of humans. We want to know the why and the because of everything. We need to be able to have an explanation for everything. We have to be able to explain it. I think most of life is unexplainable. Apophatic is a word that means we have no language, we have no ability to describe something using a certain language. I think most of life is apophatic, and we think we need it to be apophatic, and I disagree. I think we're losing our sense of awe and meaning and connection by doing what you're talking about instead of being like, now let's find a way to describe this so people can understand it. They can't.
I think that's what art is.
There you go.
I think that's
trying to do that.
It's trying, and maybe a true artist knows that no matter what the medium, they will never perfectly communicate that story, that experience. But this is what it is to them.
Yeah. Two other things. I love what you just said. The flip side of art we haven't talked much about is the audience and how humans are very social animals. We're very herd driven, all of us. So when you go to an art museum and you see a huge line waiting in line to see a painting, you can't help but be piqued. Your interest, ooh, what is that? That's got to be something. Mm-hmm. They're standing in line to check it out. Mm-hmm. And that was my experience at the Louvre when I was in college for the Mona Lisa. Huge line. I was like, I don't know what it's for, but I'll check it out. And then I'm like, oh, it's got to be the Mona Lisa, which is very small painting. And I got to the front and I was literally just like, this is what the hype's about? The hype's about the story.
Yes.
The hype's about the story and the hype's about everybody else being hyped. Right next to that, from my opinion, way more intense paintings, way bigger, way more intricate, lots more skill. You can clearly make a more objective argument about skill. You know, David, the marble sculpture Michelangelo did. I mean, come on. But it's that story. But then it's also scars. The scars that we get the artist gets. If you don't have scars, you ain't an artist, whether it's an actual physical scar of what you're trying, or it's a reputation scar, it's a pride scar. That comes from the trial and error, the enlightened trial and error of taking courage. If you don't have scars, you haven't put together a story around what you're doing, and you're afraid of risk taking, you're probably not an artist.
Well, that's so funny, because it's like the imperfections are the things that make a work authentic
and memorable.
And so you can listen to a song, right? And there's an original recording or whatever, and it will never be exactly the same. Like, people will cover it. You can almost be exactly the same, but there's something
that, but that note was played,
it was
off. Yeah. And that's cool. People yeah. like that. Just listening to older folks, and now we're in that category. I saw them live. That to me is about the art, the connection, the story. That is the process of art. Saying, I saw the artist make it live instead of just listen to it on a reproduced product.
Everyone else can listen to it, right? Like, you can buy the live album. I was there.
Right.
Right.
Same with War. I mean,
that just ties exactly to what we just talked about with the shared experience is a level that is higher than anything that can be achieved. That's the true connection, you know, like it's the most pure form of connection that we as humans can have is a true shared experience with each other. I think.
Yeah.
And
art, simultaneously, not just art, really anything that involves identification, you trying to identify yourself, story, and emotions with something else or someone else, it will always simultaneously both unite and divide.
Yeah. And so I'll tell you what this is going to make me do. You know, we always talk about, okay, so what about
Dave's cutting his ear off and becoming a painter, guys.
Change challenges. I'm going to reinvestigate my idea about the legacy thing, because for me, it's true. When I'm on my deathbed, my question to myself will be, how did I make other people feel? Meaning, when I was there with when I had shared experience with others, how did I positively impact that shared experience for others? And it doesn't need to be remembered by an audience, because to me, it doesn't matter what work I do or achievements I achieve. It's what we talked about. It will never be pure. They will never know me, right? Even if I became a famous person and thick books were written about me, right? Like 100 years from now, someone who never met me could read all that they could about me, and they would know many things about me, but they wouldn't know me. So I need to reinvest. I'm going to rethink about what that means about what I create in this life, right? So for me, in the past, it's been like, look, what I want to create right now is just focused on experience and situations for the people who are closest to me. That's my creation. That'll be my art, right? I'm going to rethink that at the very least to say, you know, okay, but what about art that even if it never communicates who I am, right? What if it – is there something that I do want to leave behind that means something to me, and I can just let other people take it how they will?
Nice. I like it. I wrote down, be reflective about what your legacy is and why it's that. You know, did you put your soul in the game for it? That an artist does that.
Yes. So it doesn't matter what medium it is. Mm-hmm. I could write a song.
Right.
I could paint a painting.
To me, those categories are problematic because that's where everyone's brain goes.
Okay,
and that's why most people are like, I'm not artistic. It's like, no. Just, what do you do for a job?
Right.
Think about where are you creative? Where do you get to do think differently?
You could knit a sweater.
It doesn't matter.
Whatever.
If your job is very structured and rule driven and there's not a lot of opportunity for creativity, which many jobs are like that, then you're doing something elsewhere as a hobby or just on the internet or with your kids or with your neighbor. You're getting to flex that. Mine is also reflective. Where do you put your soul into your craft? There's something every human does that they put their soul into, and try to do it more. You got to figure out what that is. And maybe it's kind of like me. Maybe it's like you're just constantly searching for the calling. And that's okay. As Dave said, shit, way better than I've thought. He's like, your process is your craft. And I've never thought of it that way. So I'm going to spend time thinking about that because that's interesting to me. Any other general thoughts or last things you'd want to say about art before we sign off?
No, just hit the big bullet points about how art is, it's how it makes you feel. It's the story that it tells.
It's a catalyst.
It's definitely a catalyst. It's the way that you are trying to communicate your feeling.
It's playful. It's playing with categories, but it's also risk-taking. It takes some courage, and it takes overcoming fear of judgment if you put something out there, because then it's public domain. So thanks for listening. I can tell you when I first saw this morning at 6 a.m., I was like, art? What the hell am I going to say about art? And every time I think that, it ends up becoming a really invigorating conversation. So hopefully those emotions were conveyed through this. And even if you think you're not artistic, you are. Surprise yourself. Put some thought into it. And as we say at Life Lab, experiment with life.